Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Remember, you can also hear us streaming live over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is relationships. Each of my guests is discussing a type of relationship that he or she offers the world. My first guest is the chairperson of the California Strawberry Festival coming up at the end of March 2011. We discuss this year's festival and what it's like for her to be the first female chairperson of that event. My second guest is a noted internet marketing expert. He literally makes thousands of dollars a day just by sitting in front of his computer. He explained how most business owners and CEOs are morons for spending millions of dollars on things that could be done for just a few hundred dollars. My next guest makes his living by adjusting relationships. He's a British-born psychologist who will give us 10 ideas on how to keep romance alive outside of Valentine's Day. As always, if you want to join the conversation or ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Howard Rankin is the creator of Science for You website. That's scienceofyou.com. And he's also the founder of the American Brain Association, perfect for brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Dr. Rankin is a nationally recognized psychologist and neuroscience scientist with more than three decades of experience. He has counseled numerous individuals and couples looking to make a change for the better in their life and how they interact with each other. He'll share with us his proven techniques for improving relationships or any other behavioral change from his forthcoming video and workbook, Communication Secrets of a Great Relationship. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rankin. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, it's our pleasure. We love having thought leaders on this, and relationships is the theme for today's show. Relationships are your expertise, and of course, that's why you're here. So most people can tell a little bit by your accent that you're not from here. So tell us about your background and your education and how you came to the United States.
Well, I come from England originally, as you can probably tell. But I've been here, and here is actually Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. I've been here for 25 years.
Nice.
I am now proud to say that I am a U.S. citizen. And I have been doing a lot of things. I've written books. I create videos. But I also have a core private practice in which I've seen literally thousands of couples in my time.
Well, now, Howard, you know, there have got to be couples with relationship problems in Great Britain, too. What brought you to the United States?
Actually, believe it or not, I was recruited. A friend of mine, another psychologist, had started a sort of behavioral medicine spa here on Hilton Head and wanted me to come over and run it and be the clinical director. And I decided, because I was big on Americophile anyway, this was a great opportunity, and I came. I did that for about 10 years, and in the last 15 years, I've been doing, you know, the books and the videos and the private practice and the media and things like that.
Ah, well, what an honor to be brought over by somebody to head up a clinic like that. That's great. Now, in your practice, you've really established what I call 10 rules for stronger relationships, and they're applicable at any time of the year. Most people think of these things around Valentine's Day because that's typically the time of the year where people are thinking most about their relationship. But really, Valentine's Day is just a single event. It's like a snapshot as opposed to a year-long look at a relationship, which is more like a movie. So let's talk about these 10 rules because we can apply them at any time of the year, and I think that they're beneficial for all of my listeners. So let's start with rule number one that you say, commit. Now, if I'm in a relationship, I'm already committed, aren't I, Doctor?
Well, hopefully. But, you know, some people are halfway in and halfway out. And, of course, there are different levels of commitment. If you're committed to a relationship that, you know, it works only if the other person agrees with you on everything, then you're not really committed. So everyone talks about commitment. The question is, are you really prepared to put the work in to really make a relationship great? And that's the hard one, because a lot of people aren't really committed to do the hard work. You know, a lot of people come to see me in couples counseling, and one or other or both of the spouses are sitting on my sofa in my office thinking or even saying, look, if you just fix the other person, everything's going to be fine. And it's rarely like that. It's, you know, we all have to work all the time, or at least a lot of the time, of improving our contribution. You know, I would paraphrase, you know, Kennedy's famous phrase, ask not what my marriage can do for me, but what can I do for my marriage?
Oh, very nice tie-in to President John F. Kennedy there. But, Howard, this is America, and you've come to the America from Great Britain. You know that this is the disposable society. We have disposable razors. We have disposable this, disposable that. And in so many ways, that spills over into our relationships, our human personal relationships. So how do you get beyond that to make sure that the couples have the commitment that they want to work on the relationship?
I mean, and that's a really good point, and you must have been reading a bit of my book, 10 Steps to a Great Relationship, because really early on I make that point that we are a very disposable society, and in some ways technology, which allows us to be instant and connect and do what we want at any time, in some ways that's not helpful to relationships because, you know, our spouses aren't always user-friendly, and we can't get what we want instantly. So you definitely are running into a cultural headwind there, no question about it.
No doubt. All right, second on your list is be trustworthy. Now, again, talk to me about that. If you're in a relationship, how can you be in a relationship and not necessarily be trustworthy?
Yeah, and the interesting thing about trust here is when people talk about trust, typically they're thinking about fidelity, infidelity, sexual trust, but I'm not really thinking about that, talking about that in this instance, because that's really crucial. What I'm talking about is trust, that if I'm in a relationship, I trust that I can say almost anything, and certainly my deepest thoughts and feelings, to my partner, and trust that they will respect them. And this is a huge point of communication, because people don't understand that. Very early on in my career, actually back in jolly old England, I had a couple, wife was complaining, husband never said anything, never spoke up. Yeah, indeed, he was a pretty quiet guy, and I guess he was a guy, and guys tend not to be quite as talkative. And about the fourth session, he actually opened up and said something really quite important, whereupon his wife immediately attacked him and criticized him, and he stood bolt upright and said, "That's why I never say anything," and stormed out, never to be seen again.
Mm.
And it was a really interesting demonstration and illustration. And look, if you want somebody to talk to you, you've got to create the right environment. They've got to be able to trust that you are going to respect what they say. You may not understand it. You may not like it. But you've got to be able to respect it. And that's what trust, perhaps more than anything else, is about.
Oh, wow. Sage advice from Dr. Howard Rankin, who's the creator of scienceofyou.com website. We're talking about the 10 things that you need to build stronger relationships. Second on that list was trustworthiness. Now, third on the list is learn how to share unconditionally. And that sort of ties in with what you were just saying, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. And so often, you know, in couples counseling, I see that people say, "Well, I share," but when we talk about sharing, they're not sharing at all. They're saying, "Look, okay, well, I don't mind doing this if you do that." That's not sharing, that's trading.
That's quid pro quo.
Yeah, right. That's negotiation. That's not share. That's not sharing. Sharing is, I'm going to give you this unconditionally. And again, that's almost alien in the culture. People are always looking for what's in it for me. And again, if you get into that "what's in it for me" mentality, again, that's not sharing. So again, I think that's a misunderstood concept.
Without a doubt. Now, one of the other keys to a strong relationship that you have is learn how to fight fair.
And this is a big one, because when people get into arguments and things, and as inevitably there will, I mean, two people living together and their lives are enmeshed, you know, there are bound to be disagreements, things they disagree on. A lot of those things, to be honest, tend to be pretty trivial a lot of the time, although not always. And what I see happening a lot in this situation is people wanting to win. I'll give you another snapshot from therapy a couple of years ago, with clients, and the guy was really trying to impress on his wife how right he was, and really trying to press his point, and I said, "Stop." And this just literally came spontaneously out of me. I said to him, really important question, I said, "Do you want to be right, or do you want to be happy?" And he goes and looked at me quizzically, and of course he said, "Well, I want to be both." I said, "Well, let's suppose you can't be both." Okay. And the problem in fighting is that what ends up happening is people want to be right. They want to be I am right and you're wrong. And a lot of the time, it isn't a question about right or wrong. And secondly, most importantly, perhaps, is to recognize that everyone's going to look at things a little differently, and it's not right or wrong. And again, it comes to that respect thing. As a therapist, because I got a box of tissues in my office, and often I will say to a couple, I will say to the wife, you are trying to prove these are tissues, and you, sir, are trying to prove that they are a box. And you will argue almost indefinitely, you know, your point, and it's both a box and it's tissues. So fighting fair is about not winning. It's about being respectful and about being able to recognize that, hey, this is my perspective. I understand you have yours. Let's see where we can try and work towards a sort of mutual agreement.
Now, isn't fighting fair, Dr. Rankin, also an issue of power, too? I mean, being right is really about being more powerful and exerting some sort of control or influence over your partner.
Very, very astute observation, Bill. So much of the conflict in a relationship is really about control. About who's got control?
Yeah.
And you're exactly right about that. And my observation is, I mean, you know, two people can't have 51% of everything. So my observation is that when parties feel that, by and large, control is sort of equitably shared, you know, sometimes, you know, you have control, sometimes I do, it works. But, of course, where you have one person who really wants, needs, demands control all the time, you know, that might work for a little while, but almost always it breaks down.
Sure. We're talking to Dr. Howard Rankin, everybody, creator of scienceofyou.com. And I love the next one on your list, Dr. Rankin. Embrace the F word, forgiveness.
Yeah. And, of course, you do have to do that. You know, people are going to do things that they regret doing. They do silly things. And you cannot live in the past. Now, I would say something important here. You can't forgive something that is ongoing. If somebody, your partner did something to you one time and it was hurtful, but it's long gone and that was a one-off, then forgiveness is relevant. But if they continue to do it, obviously that is not helpful to forgive something that is ongoing and harmful to you. But forgiveness is important. Forgiveness is as much about your health and what's good for you as it is the other person. Because one of my favorite quotes is, resentment is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. So if you're walking around mad and steaming and resentful, it's actually impacting your body, and it really is impacting your health. The other person that might not even know you're feeling that way. So it, to some extent, it's a self-serving, but appropriately self-serving thing to forgive. And as Oscar Wilde said, forgive your enemies, they'll be really irritated.
We got to love Oscar Wilde. You're lighting up the phones here, Dr. Rankin. We do have a caller. Steve wants to ask a question. Steve, are you there? Hi, Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for being calling in on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. What's your question for Dr. Rankin?
Yeah, doctor. I always seem to run into a common thing with my wife. It's like, you know, we'll have a discussion about, say, like, you know, if the laundry's done right or if the car is maintained right. And she'll say, well, no, it should be maintained like this. And then, you know, it's like I'm always getting the feeling that, you know, well, if I, you know, I'll go ahead and give it to her, but I'll get the feeling that, you know, it's like I always feel like a secondhand person.
Right.
What can I do to not have that feeling anymore?
I know, it's good. And you touch on something important, which is what I think is really important for couples to accept. They need to accept that the other person's not going to do things exactly the way they want, all right? And so, you know, you may not load the dishwasher or clean the car exactly the way your wife would like. But, you know, if you do it to a reasonable standard, and you have to decide what that is, but I think if you say, look, I think this is reasonable, and they're still critical, then honestly the answer is, well, then perhaps you better do that job. Because you can be with somebody who will criticize everything you do, and that's not really acceptable. I think it's important for her to accept that on the things that you have responsibility for, you're going to do them, you know, to a reasonable degree, But after that, to be honest, if she doesn't like that, then, you know, probably she needs to be doing it.
Great question, Steve. Thanks so much for being a caller here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Dr. Rankin, we're running out of time. If people like what you have to say, and obviously Steve and others did, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Scienceofyou.com, where, you know, there's stuff on relationships. I have a book on relationships there. And it's a general psychology site talking not just about relationships, but communication and a whole variety of things that are relevant.
That's scienceofyou.com. Dr. Rankin, great stuff. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Take care.